Morning church, please turn to Matthew chapter number 9.
Matthew chapter 9.
It's a great joy to see you once again this morning.
Matthew
9, we will read from verse 27 to 31. Title of this message this morning: Have mercy on us. We are looking at the two blind men before Jesus. Have mercy on us. Verse 27 to 31. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Have mercy on us. Last week we considered one of the most painful experiences a person can go through. To be desperate for years without hope. We saw a woman who bled for 12 years, a woman who had issues of blood or discharge for 12 years. We saw how she spent all her money to doctors and everyone who could help, but all in vain. How she probably suffered scorn and shame as people looked at her and mistreated her for her condition. Yet everything came to an end when her desperation and faith led her to Jesus. When desperation and faith led her to Jesus, Jesus whom alone has mercy on people, Jesus whom alone set the captives free so that they may know that God is gracious to those of faith. This morning we consider something similar. Two men born blind. But though born blind, they followed Christ Jesus, confessing him as the Messiah who was to come into this world. And of course, the situation is a little bit different from that which we considered last week. This woman we spoke about last week bled for 12 years. That was not normal. The difference is now these men were born blind, which seems to be normal. This is something familiar, this is something kind of acceptable in our settings as men. You do get the conditions in life which people accept, although they are not acceptable. So this condition that is before us is a condition that is usual.
jalo maemo aphelago ne ke maemo elo ana tlwaelegile go batho.
Why is it usual?
Gobane ana tlwaelegile.
Because the condition we accept is a condition that is impossible to reverse, humanly speaking.
Gobane ke maemo o bona re le batho ba ga dumela gore ha gona ha lo ne a tlohe.
Yet when these men heard of Jesus, they resolved to try Jesus. They realized that although this may be acceptable among men, but we need to try Jesus according to our faith and according to our belief. So this man will not just sit around and accept their condition just because the culture around them accepts the condition. Can you imagine being born blind? To have not seen the sun, to have not seen the birds flying, to have not seen these beautiful singing birds around you, and have not seen the mountains that people are talking about. You don't even know how you look yourself. You don't even know the food that you are eating. Can you imagine the condition these people were living under? You see, friends, you might not have seen the Victoria Falls in Zambia or Zimbabwe. You might not have seen the Great Canyon in America, but you must see the Lord Jesus Christ. You might not have heard of Chris Hani. You might not have heard of some of the most popular and important people of this world, but you must hear of Jesus. When you hear of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you hear of his wonderful works that he's doing among men, that is when you will have hope in your heart. That is when you will have hope to see him doing the same unto you.
How would you look at Jesus then to let your guys to Michelle High Island in Harabato over for the moment to let a tear for Eden Viena? How would you look at it?
When you hear of the Lord Jesus Christ,
how would you look at Jesus Christ?
You will understand the state of your need as a person. And you will have hope and hope of glory only unto him. So there are three major points of interest from this passage that I want us to consider. Three things necessary for a time of distress and hopelessness. Firstly, a plea for mercy.
Verse 27.
And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Have mercy on us. This is a cry which each and every soul should cry aloud. We should shout aloud unto God, "Have mercy on us." They call him Son of David. They are convinced that this man is the one who will come from God, full of mercy and grace. They believe that this man is the fulfillment of the promises of God, that one will come in the house of Israel to have mercy on the poor, on the weak, to have mercy on the sinful one, on the lame, to have mercy on all people. So knowing those things, they will not then let Jesus pass them by. They will not let Jesus pass them by without pleading for mercy from Him. Pleading from this merciful one of heaven. Have mercy on us. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Hear my humble cry. Hear my wounded and broken spirit.
Save
me by your grace.
By
crying on the Lord Jesus Christ. Church, it is important to know unto whom to cry to. This man knows whom they are calling unto. They've been born blind. They were born blind. They've never cried unto any other man. They never cried to John the Baptist or any other prophet that you may think of. They're only crying unto Jesus. Son of David, have mercy on us. And as you read the book of Matthew, you realize as we go through that this actually theme of the Son of David is full or is everywhere in the book of Matthew. It is the theme, the major theme of this book of Matthew, revealing the Son of David. As I've said before, according to the promises of God, the Jews were waiting for the Messiah to come and deliver them. And now, Matthew is saying, the Messiah have come. This is the fulfillment of the promises which God made to Israel, that a son of David or a descendant of David will reign over a kingdom that will last forever. This is the Son of David who will overthrow his enemies and heal diseases and put death to shame.
So
they resolved, this is the man to call unto. If I have not called unto this man for mercy, if I have not plead for mercy from this Son of God, I have not called, and I have called in vain if I have called from someone else. But look at something strange here. When they called on him, Jesus heard them. They're calling out for him, unto him for mercy. They're calling out in honor of the fulfillment of scripture. Yet Jesus ignored them. Jesus acted like he doesn't hear them. They call him on him as he passed by on the road, yet he continued until he went to a house without turning his face or without looking unto them. He ignored them. He ignored a cry of mercy, a plea for mercy. He ignored. We are not told why Jesus will ignore this man as they are crying out to him, calling him with a name that no one else called on him before, Son of David, have mercy on us. Please think about this. Being ignored by Jesus. You know what? You can be ignored by any person. I have been ignored by people, those that I love and those that I work with. People can just ignore you sometimes. It's normal for people to ignore you. People have issues. And sometimes when people ignore you, it's not because they don't like you, but they are busy, they've got things in their mind, and you're just coming and they can't deal with you. But this is Jesus. His mission is to come and hear the humble cry of the people of Israel, those who will believe, those who will call unto him. His ear will be attentive unto them, yet he is ignoring a plea for help. We are not told, but I would like to conclude that Jesus also demanded perseverance unto this man. You must persevere in your call unto Jesus. You must persevere in your cry for mercy. You must try to hold on, to cling to that old rugged cross on your daily life and follow Jesus wherever he goes. These men were determined to follow Jesus until they will receive their deliverance. They were determined to plead for mercy until mercy will rewrite their lives. So the principle we need to draw from this, a lesson we need to draw from this, we must pursue mercy from Jesus. We must persevere in the way, in the life of faith. Because the coming of the Son of David had to do with mercy. God looked from heaven and he saw the injustice in the world. He looked from heaven and he saw the sinfulness of man. Then he asked, "Whom shall I send?" And the Son of God stood up from the right hand of God. "Send me, O Father, I will go and I will have mercy on them." We need to persevere and cry for mercy. We can see the same truth in chapter number 15, verse 22. The Bible tells us that, "And behold, the Canaanite woman from that region came out, and she was crying unto Jesus, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" We must cry for mercy from the Lord for ourselves and for those around us. So these two blind men followed Jesus even though they could not see the way. Can you imagine? Let me speak in an unusual way, but let me say, sometimes the road
may be foggy. Sometimes it may be dark before you, but you still need to follow Jesus. They could not see. Yet they followed Jesus. They believe that this man is the man worthy to follow. This is the man unto whom help come from. Church, we all need mercy. As we need mercy, as the people of this world, as the things of this world come upon us, we must then disregard our acceptable circumstances and come to Jesus. We must put it upon ourselves to seek and cry out to Jesus for mercy, to follow him until there is deliverance, or to follow him until we reach the grave. Following Jesus, we must follow and cry out for mercy. Before we move on, two things I want you to realize. Firstly, we have a need greater than we can handle. So no one can plead for mercy unless he has realized that there is no help within and without him, but Jesus alone. We cannot handle our situations. Therefore, we need to display a practical confidence in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of the cross. And we cannot become despondent when there is no immediate help. Especially when there is no help from men around us. Because there are things which are greater than men can handle. But we must make sure we see that in Christ we have a window of opportunity. To cry for mercy. Another thing I want to re-emphasize is the fact that we need to be persistent on our cry for mercy. There is no evidence here that Jesus passed on that road again. These people did not say, maybe he will come back and pass by, then he will call again. But they realized that they need to follow him and persevere and follow him until they find their deliverance. You have to follow Jesus. This is the one unto whom help come from. Listen to Psalm 72:12. A beautiful psalm pointing to this Son of God. In prophecy, this psalmist says, when Christ come, he will deliver the needy when they call. He will deliver the poor and him who has no help. That is why they cry unto him. That is why they followed him. So a plea for mercy is necessary, friends. Why? Because we are a dependent people. We are dependent beings. We depend upon someone else. We are not in control. We are troubled and wearisome people. So we need mercy to rewrite our lives. We need mercy to rewrite our stories. We need mercy even to wake up each and every morning to see the sunshine. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need." A cry for mercy. But secondly, I want us to look at the act of mercy. Now they have cried. What happens when they cry? The act of mercy. Verse 28 and 29. When they entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done unto you." And I want us to look at again Psalm 72, but now verse 13. Look at this act of mercy. Promise already before time. Verse 13 says, "He has pity on the weak and the needy, and saves the lives of the needy." So we were anticipating a compassionate Christ to come into this world, a merciful Savior, to act merciful on those who need mercy. You see, church, the troubles and the challenges of this life might cause you to think that Jesus does not listen to you, as you have realized that he passed them by. But now we found him in the house where they find him. Notice, very important question. Perhaps you think Jesus has not been listening, but it's maybe because we have not answered this question. Maybe it's a question of belief. Maybe it's a question of faith. Genuine faith that we spoke about last week. Because friends, sometimes Jesus will make you wait in your tears. Just to train your faith.
Yes,
that your faith may be trained and be strong. He asked them a question. We'll come back to that. But he asked them a question. Do you believe? Do you believe? Or you just following? Do you believe? So he passed them by, but friends, it does not end there. When they followed him in faith, we realize that Jesus turned his attention unto them. Jesus exercised an act of mercy unto them. In the same way, when you follow Jesus, after you have cried so long, he will act merciful on you. He will turn your sorrow into joy. He will turn your mourning into dancing. He will turn your hopelessness into praise. So they followed him to the house. Let's pick on from there. I want you to see a twofold remarkable character of Jesus towards the needy. We are inside the house now. I'm not sure whose house is this. The Bible does not mention whose house is this. We may think it is Peter's house, where Jesus normally goes there. Maybe it is a house that he hired to rest for a night, since the Son of God had no place to lay down his head. He had no place, and unlike the birds of the sky which had nest, but Jesus had no place. So we don't know whose house is this. But what is important is to follow these twofold characters of Jesus if you follow him in faith. The first thing you must consider is Jesus' spiritual mercy. Let me put it this way. Jesus act, spiritual act of mercy. Consider. Look at your Bible. The first thing that Jesus does. What we see first is Jesus' evangelistic approach to this needy man. The first thing that Jesus worries about is your spiritual state. You may come unto him crying that you have pains in your body, or you are suffering the infirmities of this world. But the first thing that he considers something of primary importance is the whereabouts of your soul after this life. This is the question we spoke about. He asked them this question. Do you believe that I'm able? Do you believe that I'm able to do this? The question is like, are you calling on me like everyone else is calling, or are you calling on me because you believe in me? Friend, anyone can call. Do you believe? Are you following me because all is following, or do you believe? Do you come to church just because everyone is coming to church, or do you believe? Because, friends, the act of mercy will follow your response. It will follow whether you believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah or not. The question is important to ask, and it's important that it is answered. If I was a charismatic, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. If I was one of those churches, I should be saying, ask your neighbor, do you believe? Ask your neighbor, if do you believe? Ask. Ask. I'm waiting. Ask. Do you believe?
Now as me.
Because that is the most important question that needs to be answered. Remember, the book of John tells us that people will not go to hell for anything else that they have done. Of course, those things as on, but it says they have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. He asks, do you believe?
Now,
do you have faith in me? Have you put your trust in me? Have you laid your soul at the feet of the cross? They answered. Have you answered? They answered, yes, Lord. What is your answer? Friends, the greatest act of mercy is towards the soul. But if you were listening as Baba Ras was praying, he also said, God, after dealing with our spiritual needs, he also deals with our physical needs. So the second thing I want you to see here is Jesus' physical acts of mercy. He does not only stop by dealing with the soul, he continues to deal with our physical needs as well. When they have confessed their belief on him, the Bible tells us he touched their eyes. He physically stretched his hand and touched them on their eyes. Their blindness was removed. Their weakness of the body was taken away. Jesus can stretch his hand and touch you. I think the misconception here in this church might be the fact that since we don't call you to the front and pray for you and make this parade like everybody else, you might think we don't believe that Jesus can stretch his hand and touch you. No, we do believe that Jesus can stretch his hand and touch you. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the prerequisite, the requirement, what is expected, is faith. He says, according to your belief, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. The point I'm making, their eyes were removed, their eyes were opened, their blindness was taken away. So there is a secondary act of mercy in Christ Jesus, whereby he heals our infirmities, whereby he touches us and he takes away our sorrows of the body. That is what it do unto us. Spiritual act of mercy, physical act of mercy. But there are four things I want you to learn about Jesus himself from this act of mercy. Jesus' act of mercy firstly reveals his compassion. Friends, Jesus touched them. They had to feel the loving touch, the loving hand of Jesus. The compassionate touch of the Son of God. A touch that will not leave you the same. A touch that makes the impossible possible. A touch which proves his love upon those who are in need. As the scripture said to us in Matthew chapter number 4, remember, he went throughout all Galilee. He healed all kinds of diseases because he is a compassionate Christ. Jesus came to have pity on the needy, my friends. He came to comfort the discomforted. Why? So that all people may see through him the love of God. Secondly, we have already seen, but I'm re-emphasizing, Jesus' act of mercy demands faith. What does that tell you? He expects you to do something. Though he's sovereign, but you also have to come to him and produce your human responsibility and show human responsibility. You need to possess faith, my friends, in order to receive your mercy, which will open your eyes. You need to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing, quickly, Jesus' act of mercy leads to restoration. You need this act of mercy to be restored. They cry out, "Son of David, have mercy on us." Compassionate One of Heaven, incline your grace upon us and restore our sight. And verse 30 tells us they were restored because of Christ's acts of mercy. Jesus opened their physical blindness. But friends, it doesn't stop that. Jesus will also open your spiritual blindness. It says in John chapter number 9, verse 39 to 41. Listen what it says. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Remember, these people could see, so they're asking, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you will have no guilty, but now that you say you can see, your guilt remains." The point I'm bringing to you, friends, Jesus' act of mercy leads to restoration, physical restoration, spiritual restoration. Jesus' act of mercy as well reveals him as the one prophesied, as I've been saying. So he's the one worthy of our worship and praise. Isaiah 35, verse 5 and 6 says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sings for joy. Church, Jesus alone can act merciful towards us. But the third thing I want us to see shortly and finally, a test of obedience and submission. They cried out for mercy. He acted towards them in mercy. But what is the expectation? After Jesus has restored you, what is expected of you? Verse 30 and 31 says, and their eyes were open, and Jesus warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame throughout all the districts. Church, mercy in return expects obedience and submission. He warns them not to tell anyone about what had happened. And friends, indeed, we can only obey when we are been given a command to obey. Nobody can obey something he doesn't know he should obey. That is why when we have disobeyed, we have disobeyed what is clearly taught by scripture. We have disobeyed a clear instruction, not anything hidden. So he commands them to obey and to submit. Let us look at the first thing, a call to obedience. It is important that we know that the call to obedience is expected, or it's a call that goes unto those of faith. Those who have come to Jesus in faith and receive his grace, they are commanded to obey him. You have a great responsibility, my friends, to obey his command, to obey his word. That is what John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. Speaking to you and I, those who are calling upon the name of the Lord, saying, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his command. So the test here is that did they love and appreciate the fact that now they can see, or are they willing to obey the word of God? Because it is easy to receive what you have asked for and then go away and go back to your own way. Question, are you willing to obey? So this command is given to them in verse 30, not necessarily because Jesus wants to keep this miracle secret, friends. No. It would have been so difficult. It was impossible to keep this miracle secret. That's not what Jesus is asking. These people had families. These people had other people around them who witnessed that their eyes were open, but he still says, go and tell no one. Why? It begins from that question, do you believe? And the answer was, yes, Lord. Now that you have believed, are you willing to obey? Even to obey what seems impossible to obey. He wanted them to obey. He didn't want them to testify of him whom they did not know, him they did not obey. But another thing we see here is that Jesus is not a man who wept for fame. Because sometimes when God has done something for you, you end up talking about you being so privileged and stand here and telling us about you yourself all the time, and forget about the God that has done this. We must be reminded to obey. Sometimes things may not make sense, humanly speaking, but we must obey. But it is also a call to submit to the Lordship of Christ. To understand that Jesus is not just your Savior, but your Lord. He's not the one who has snatched you from the garbage of sin and leave yourself to yourself to live a life that is pleasing unto you. But he has saved you from the garbage of sin and became a master unto you. So on daily basis, he's the one who commands, corrects, and directs you. And you must submit unto him. Listen to Luke chapter 6 verse
46.
This is a question that Jesus asked. Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I tell you? So it is possible to call him Lord and do not do what he tells you to do. This man failed the test. We must believe. He is Lord. But once we have believed, we need to submit to his Lordship. That is to do what he tells us to do. To acknowledge him on a daily basis. To do what pleases only him. To live in accordance to his commands. We know, church, that perfect obedience is not really possible in this life that we are living, but the point that we are making is that you must strive to make sure that you obey God. In closing, in times of distress, in times of the impossible situation to deal with, cry for mercy. Cry for mercy unto him who is merciful. For sin and for all wrongdoings, cry for mercy. Once you have cried out to him for mercy, do not be despondent. Do not lose heart. Your help may not be immediate, but he will not pass you by if you follow him. Follow him, keep the faith. When you have followed him, be sure that we are following because we have believed. Not because the multitudes are following. You have believed he's the one who can help you. But above all, you have believed he's the son of David who will have mercy on us. You have believed he's the only one, the compassionate Savior, and to him only our help comes from. Put your trust in Jesus. Depend on him. Only unto him comes everlasting hope of glory. Obey him. He alone will wipe away your tears. He alone will restore your broken heart and your broken spirit. Day by day, cry out to him, because we are all in need of mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, a sinner. Help me today. Help me tomorrow. I have no one but you. Lead me by your hand. Guide me. Let me walk with you side by side. Help me follow you. May I follow you in faith and repentance. Restore me. Keep me near the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Have mercy on us. We pray.
Amen.
Amen.